Our reading will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16, which can be found on page 1209 in the Blue Church Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16, which can be found in page 1209 in the Blue Church Bibles. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people who were still living by faith when they died, they did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
James, thank you very much for reading that for us. You're going to want to keep that passage open. We're going to be staying in Hebrews 11 tonight, and we've got these wonderful verses to look at. Shall we pray as we begin? Lord, we thank you for the example of your servant Abraham that we have before us, and we pray that as we look at his life and these incidents in his life, Lord, would we be like him in that we have the same kind of faith that he has, the same faith that your servants have had throughout the ages, faith in your Son Jesus. Help us, we pray, as we look at this to understand it, but also, Lord, that you would encourage us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, little quiz for you, see if you recognize these lyrics from a song. I don't take coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast done on one side. And you can hear it in my accent when I talk. Do you know the next line? I'm an Englishman in New York. Sting, Mr. Sting to his friends, I think. Famously, he sang this song back in 1987. And how does the chorus to that song go? I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York. It's a song about identity, a mixed identity. He lives in the Big Apple, but he's not from there. He looks like everyone else, but he doesn't quite fit in. He doesn't quite feel at home. And the people he bumps into, well, they actually know that too. There's something different in the way he talks and in the way he walks even. It doesn't take others long to figure out that he's not a Yank. He's a Limey. He's a Brit. He's an alien, a foreigner. His true home is somewhere else. This part of Hebrews 11 tells us that people of faith in Jesus are just like Sting in New York. We're aliens. Do you know that? You're an alien. You're an alien, a foreigner, a stranger in the world. We live here, we look the same as anyone else, but we don't quite fit. We see things differently. We're never quite at home. And others know it too. There's something in the way that we talk as Christian people. There's something in the way that we walk in our lives that gives us away. Yes, we reside here, but we belong somewhere else. We have another home. And that's the tension that we live in. And that tension is the lived experience of the Hebrews that this letter is written to. It's written to Jewish people, hence the name Hebrews. And these are people who are Jewish by ethnicity, but they've become believers in Jesus as God's Messiah. So the Jewish Christians. So do they belong to the Jews? Well, no, they don't. Their ethnicity is Jewish, but things have changed for them once they believe in Jesus Christ. They're not accepted in the Jewish community anymore. And on top of that, these people are likely to be immigrants culturally as well. They're probably living in Rome, in the Eternal City. And the Roman historian Seneca, he speaks of people like this, Jewish Christians like this. He says, the majority of them are aliens. He uses that word. Most of them, you'll find, have left home and come to Rome, the greatest and loveliest city in the world, but not theirs. These Jewish believers knew that they didn't fit. They're largely despised by the Jewish community and by the Romans. And just before this letter was written, a few years before, there'd been a pretty serious persecution of them. Even those who were Roman citizens could have their citizenship revoked at a moment's notice. They're suffering for their identity as being in Christ. They live with daily uncertainty and fear, and there's no security for their future. And if that's their condition, if that's what their lives are like, then what do they need to hear? Well, I think that's what this part of this letter is doing. This is what they need to hear. They need to hear about Abraham. And this is the first thing they hear. There's some points, I think, on the screen, Lewis. Thank you. This is the first thing, verses 8 to 10. They need to hear that people of faith live as if this world is not their home. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The writer of this letter draws our attention to the man of faith in the Old Testament, Abraham. And he begins where Genesis 12 begins. Abraham lived in a place called Ur. They didn't know what it was called, so they just called it Ur. That's a little joke. They didn't know what it's called. That's in what would become Babylon later on in the story, in modern-day Iraq. And when he was there, God spoke to him, and they called him to leave his. And God called him to leave his country, and his people, and his father's family, to leave everything that he'd known, and go to a new land. But it was only a land that God would show him when he got there. He had to trust God, and he did it. And that was not normal behavior. It's not normal behavior today, is it? We don't do that. We don't say goodbye to family, to an earthly inheritance, to a comfortable future, just because an invisible God tells us to. People would think we were nuts. But Abraham trusted God. He trusted God's word to him, his promise, and his faith was proven by his obedience. He didn't cling to his possessions, to his comfort, to his security. He didn't cling to his home, but he gave them up for a seemingly uncertain future because being obedient to God was more important for him. Now, this is often what the Christian life is like, isn't it? We're shown where to start, but not where it will end, and so we have to act in faith. It's been a great privilege for me to sit on the oversight team at this church, the leadership team here. And I have to tell you, as I was reading this and preparing this passage, our budget meetings came to mind. They're not the most exciting meetings. In fact, they're probably the most painful meetings that we have. And one of the reasons why they're relatively stressful is we're convicted by God that he's called us to these ministries that he's given to us, but we can't see how it's possible. We can't see where the money will come from. We just can't see. We can't see how the year will end. And it's like this for us at the moment as a church. Kevin spoke to us at the Swarland local meeting a couple of weeks ago. We've had a letter to explain the situation. We can see what we know what we've got to do. We know what the Lord's called us to, but we can't see how it will happen. So what do? We step forwards in faith, trusting that the Lord will see us through to the end of the journey. And one of the great things that we've seen over the years is that the Lord always does. Now, it's not very comfortable to live like that. It's life on the edge. And it's certainly not how the world makes decisions about things. Everything needs to be lined up before you move. That's the way the world thinks. But God's people don't work like that. And by doing that, by acting in faith in this way, we're proving that we don't belong to the world. We believe that obedience to the Lord is more important than certainty or security or our own comfort. So we trust him, and he always comes through. And it's been a great joy as part of the leadership here to see that we're united as a church in this kind of risky faith that goes where God tells us to go. Now let's come back to Abraham. In verse 9, we have some further detail, not just about Abraham here, but about his family as well. Verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham here is commended for living as a stranger in the land. He didn't make his home in the Canaanite cities that were already there, but stayed in tents. And if you were to read the Genesis story, we're not going to do that tonight, it's quite a long story, but we would find out about the cities of the land, and they're called Sodom and Gomorrah, which most people have heard of. They're full of wickedness and evil, much like ancient Rome was, and much like modern London is today. And if you remember the story, Lot, his nephew, he does the opposite. He goes and he goes to the cities and makes his home there, and it ends in disaster. But Abraham doesn't. He stays in a temporary home. He's content to live there. Why does he do that? Well, I think it's a little bit hard to see in the passage, actually. But let me do my best to explain what's going on. God had promised the land to Abraham and his descendants. But the writer here indicates that Abraham understood by faith that the land that they dwelt in was not the final fulfillment of that promise. It wasn't going to be his permanent home. He was part of the land, certainly. He lived there, he engaged with the people there, and he made a home there of sorts, but it was never truly home for him. He found that he's not like those who lived there. He had a different perspective, a different way of life, a different morality, a different God that he worshipped. He didn't fit there, and he knew that. And so he lived distinct from everyone else. As U2 once sang, he still hadn't found what he was looking for. In verse 10, the writer to the Hebrews wants us to know that Abraham saw by faith that there was a better home coming, a permanent home in the future, not one in tents, but in a city with foundations that was built not by man, but by God. Now, this is what the Hebrews need to hear. And it's what we need to hear as people of faith in Jesus Christ, that this current home is temporary. We live like Abraham did, surrounded by evil. We live on the outskirts of society. We don't fit in, and we can't fit in, not if we're to be obedient to God. And that feels very unsettling for us. No one likes to feel like that at school. No one likes to feel that at work, that we're not like everyone else. But we have another home, a home yet to come, one which is our true dwelling place, a permanent eternal city designed and built by God. Now, this is how I think we can apply this to us. We're to live in that knowledge that we belong there, not here. We're to live like people who belong to God's city, not in human cities. Let's flesh that out in an example. Let's take an obvious one. Let's take Brexit for an example. It's been about 5 minutes since we've thought about that, hasn't it? When our government doesn't know what to do about Brexit, how do we respond as God's people? Do we respond with anger or fear? Or anxiety, or panic even. We see all those responses around us, don't we? And if, I'm not saying this is necessarily going to happen, let's say the worst happens and house prices fall apart, what you own is suddenly worth nothing. Let's say that trade and commerce, our economy falls apart and we're plunged into poverty. How will we respond then? Anxiety, fear, panic, anger. But what if we believed that this is not our home? What if we believed that all this is only temporary and that we have a permanent, secure place to live in for eternity? Wouldn't we respond differently? Wouldn't we be a bit calmer about it than the people around us? That's a bit of an understatement, isn't it? Wouldn't, if we believed this, wouldn't we be at peace? And therefore, wouldn't we be able to point others to the security that there is in Jesus Christ? That whatever happens to this country or to this world, we can be safe, permanently secure with him. See, people of faith live as if this world is not their home because it's not their home. We're aliens here, never quite fitting in, making sometimes seemingly crazy decisions in faith like Abraham did, because we're secure in our home to come. Now let's look at the second illustration of Abraham's life in verses 11 and 12. People of faith obey when they can't see how it will work. Abraham was a wrinkly old dude when God called him. And his wife Sarah, even though she was about 10 years younger than him, she was pretty weathered as well. And God had promised them descendants, and that seemed ridiculous to them. She was way too old for that, and even if she wasn't, they'd never been able to get pregnant before. Now, in the story, Sarah did not have the best response to when she hears God's promise. In fact, she laughs at it, just as anyone else would have laughed. But by the end of the Genesis story, we see that Sarah has changed her heart. And this happens. So verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. It took faith to trust God on this one. It seems so impossible. But we're told that she considered him faithful who had made the promise. It was God's faithfulness that caused her to trust him for this impossible thing. I'm just going to put this fairly bluntly. This wasn't an immaculate conception. Sarah's faith was proven by the fact that in her old age she had sex with her as good as dead husband and expected to get pregnant. We're not going to dwell too long on this, but their bodies weren't built for that anymore. There were no little blue pills in those days. Their hips were probably a little less flexible than they used to be. This wasn't going to work. But they acted in faith, and they obeyed God, and it happened just as God had said that it would. And then look at what God achieved through their obedience. Descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You know, God's plan to save the world, it never seems like it's going to work. Was an ancient woman really going to have a baby that would bring blessing to the world? Was a people enslaved by a superpower like Egypt really going to be freed by the death of a lamb? Was a little shepherd boy like David really going to slay a giant and save Israel? Was a young girl like Mary really going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Was a man like Jesus really going to die on a cross in the place of sinners to rescue them from death, the death that they deserved? And was that same man really going to rise from the dead 3 days later? God's plan to save the world never seems like it's going to work. And yet when his people are obedient in faith to his promises, no matter how strange they might seem or how unlikely, he always does what he promised. Always. See, Jesus trusted in his Father's promise that through his death and resurrection, he would save his people from their sins. He was obedient to his Father, no matter how unlikely it seemed, and that's what happened. And for us, as people of faith today, we have a question too. God's called us to go into school and into the workplace and into our community and into the nations with the gospel of his Son. And he's promised that through the obedient witness of his people, he'll bring salvation to the world. Will God really use people like us in this way? Really? Doesn't that seem like that won't work? Doesn't he know me? Doesn't he know you? What we're like? And maybe we hear that and we laugh just like Sarah once did. But then she realized, didn't she, that it wasn't about her and her ability to make that work. She considered him faithful who had made the promise. And then she was obedient. So will we have faith like hers when it comes to God's call to be a witness to the world? See, people of faith obey when they can't see how it will work because they trust and believe that God is faithful to his promises. Final thing, verses 13 to 16. People of faith live and die confident of a better home. These last verses act as a kind of summary for this section. I think when he says all these people in verse 13, he's not talking about all the way back to verse 1. He's just referring to Abraham, Sarah, and their family. And the point here is a really simple one, I think, verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive what the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They lived by faith and they died in faith. For them, they'd only see partially the fruit of what God had promised. They never inherited the promised land. That would wait until Joshua's day. They never saw Jesus' day and how he fulfilled this promise of a descendant who would bless the nations. They never saw that. And they never received the greater reality of this eternal spiritual home that's still to come. But they trusted that what God was what God has in store for them. And that's shown by a couple of examples here in these last few verses. They could have gone back. They could have gone back to Ur. They could have gone back to their homeland. They may well have returned. Or they could have made a home in this earth. But they didn't. Not for one day of their lives. Until the day they died, they lived as resident aliens, looking and longing for a better country, a heavenly one, verse 16. And for that, God was pleased to honor them as belonging to him. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. See, the world may shame them for the life that they live, the life that doesn't make sense to them. And these Jewish Christians this letter's written to, they may well be shamed by their neighbors. They may lose their citizenship of Rome. They may be scorned by those around them. But God is not ashamed of them. He will honor them with her place in his heavenly city. See, these Hebrews, they needed to hear this, and so do we. We need to hear of our heritage, that we're people of faith, just like our forefather Abraham. We need to know that our present experience is normal for God's people, that it always has been like that. We need to know that even though things seem difficult now, that we'll be okay in the end. We need to know that though what God has asked us to do seems impossible, if we step out in obedient faith, we'll see the evidence that his promises are trustworthy. And we need to know that if we will stay faithful in a world that shames and scorns us, that doesn't want us to be here, if we will live and die as people of faith in Jesus, well, we can be confident that we do in fact have a home with our King in the true eternal city. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the example of those who have gone before us, for Abraham and Sarah and their family. Thank you for their trust in you, their faith. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to have faith like theirs, that trusts you for an uncertain time, that steps forwards when we can't see the end of the story, that trusts your promises, that the impossible things that you've asked us to do, like reaching the world for your name's sake, are possible, not because of us, but because you've told us that you will do it. Help us to believe your promises. And Lord, we ask that as we live out in the world where people don't necessarily want us here, and if they do, they don't want us to be obvious about it, we pray that, Lord, we'll be people who are still living by faith when we die, that we will one day receive the things that you have promised and find our home with you forever. Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord. Help us to stay faithful to you while we wait for it. In Jesus' name, amen.